Shire is a leading global specialty biopharmaceutical company with a focus on helping people with life-altering conditions to lead better lives. While Shire's portfolio of ADHD medicines helps patients diagnosed with ADHD, we recognize the need to provide additional support to them and their families. And that's why we at Shire value our local, regional, and international partnerships that are designed to develop and enhance programs to improve the understanding and awareness of ADHD. At Shire, people diagnosed with ADHD have our full attention. To learn more about Shire, visit www.shire.com.
To Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to attention, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome everybody to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We have a spectacular show for you today. Today is Wednesday, October the 12th at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and with us in our virtual studio is Dr. Ari Tuchman. Our topic today is was attention. Understand it and it's easier to manage it. We've got a bunch of announcements. We've got so much kind of going on here at Attention Talk Radio. I guess let me begin real quickly. Remember, the CHAD conference is around the corner, November 11th or 10th through the 12th in Orlando, Florida. For more information on that, go to chadd.org. And, Ari, you're speaking at the CHAD conference this year, right?
I am.
The topic is Everyone Needs a Friend?
It is.
That's kind of an interesting type topic. Can you just give us a real quick gist of what that's all about?
Sure. You know, it's kind of funny. This whole topic of friendship seems to not get a whole lot of attention. And I thought, let's give it a bit more attention because friendship is really important. Social connection and having fun and, you know, like we see ourselves based on how other people treat us, but also how we see ourselves affects how other people treat us. And there's certainly social implications to having ADHD and a lot of misunderstanding of ADHD sort of stuff. So, Yeah, there's, you know, I'll do a 90-minute presentation. I could probably do like a, you know, 8-hour presentation on it, but I'll squeeze all the good stuff into 90 minutes.
All right. Well, I'll have to mark that down. I'm going to be there, everybody. So if you're going to be there, track me down and say hi because I'd love to meet you. And all right, I'm going to make that down, see if I can make that that presentation. It sounds like a good one. Some other announcements out there. We are actually thrilled. It took a little bit of pulling together, but Attention Talk Radio has a brand new – actually, not a brand new. We have a new Facebook page. Actually, not a new one, but our first Facebook page, and we're real excited about it. If you go to facebook.com/Attention Talk Radio, go check it out. When you pull it up, it has a list of all the upcoming shows. It's got pictures of our guests, like Ari's up there right now with a description of it. There's a live tab that you can kind of connect on. You can actually listen to our show live off of Facebook. And then we have another tab with all kinds of archives, all our archive shows. So you can go to that tab, and you can kind of go down and find the show that you want. If you click on the title of it, it'll actually take you to the show page and start streaming the audio as soon as you do it. So it's real nice and simple. And, of course, you have our wall where you can join in on the discussion. So just that's facebook.com/Attention Talk Radio, and I encourage our listeners to check it out. Another announcement we've been kind of leading up to is we are thrilled to present ADHD Awareness Week that's being brought to you by the ADD Coach Academy and Attention Talk Radio. It's starting next week, Monday night. We've got a great lineup of shows. Dr. Ned Hollowell is going to come on. He's going to talk about what's exciting him that's going on in the ADHD community. Tuesday, David Work is going to come in and talk about his book, Permission to Proceed. Wednesday is going to be a real thrill. Michelle Novotny is going to come in. And I interviewed her actually in a pre-recorded show. She wrote the Senate resolution that actually brought about ADHD Awareness Week when she was on the ADA board. And it's going to be fun because we're going to air the interview, and at the end of it, we're going to have a reunion for those that support her, David Gwork, Evelyn Green, and herself. They're going to kind of lament and talk about, you know, how it came together. So that's going to be fun. And then Thursday is going to be great. Ari Tuchman is going to come back with Barbara Luther. We're going to talk about the difference between ADHD coaching and ADHD therapy, which I've been reading up on. I read some stuff that Ari wrote on it, some stuff that Barbara, and I can't wait because I think it's going to be a very fascinating and enlightening show. And then Friday, Michael Squin from Shire Pharmaceuticals and Rob Tedisco are going to come on from the Edge Foundation, and they're going to talk about the 2012-2013 secondary scholarship program where recipients get like $2,000 and a year's worth of free coaching. So it's a very exciting week for us next week. So check us out at Tension Talk Radio or go to our Facebook page. It's all laid out. Shows Monday through Friday, 8 o'clock, same bat station. It's going to be a really good time. So just stay tuned to that. Also, as a reminder, if you want to get on our a newsletter, you can go to our Facebook page. There's a tab to click on newsletter. You can sign up there, or you can still go to attentionradio.com, and we'll send stuff right to your inbox. So with the announcement aside, let's get into this, because this is a show that I have wanted to do, for about a year and a half. And today it's really about attention, and Dr. Tuckman's with us today. He's a clinical psychologist who specializes in diagnosing and treating children, teens, and adults with ADHD. Are you still the current vice president of Attention Deficit Disorder Association?
Actually, I'm not.
Okay. Well, you former vice president. How's that?
There you go.
Also, you have the book More Attention, Less Deficit, Success Strategies for Adults with ADHD out there, too, which is, it's from what I understand, it's selling very well, correct?
It is, yeah. People really like it. They like that it's very sort of user-friendly and kind of easy to keep your attention on, and I've got a new book that is literally today shipping from the printer called Understand Your Brain, Get More Done, the ADHD Executive Functions Workbook. So that will be out, you know, in a few days it'll be available at addwarehouse.com, and in some weeks it'll be available on Amazon, and then because of weird distributor issues of their schedule, the timing of their schedule of releases, it'll be available on bookshelves and other online retailers in the spring, but addwarehouse.com and Amazon will have it first.
Will you have some books with you, Chad?
I will.
All right, so there you go. When you see Dr. Tuckman and Chad, run up and say you want a copy of his book and have him sign it for you.
Yeah, and say hello.
All right, today's interesting because this show is dedicated to paying attention to attention and ADHD, and we've never really had a show on what is attention.
Mm-hmm.
And I just let's start from the beginning. From your perspective, what is attention?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of a funny thing that for all we talk about in terms of ADHD and even the word attention deficit, you know, like we talk about this sort of symptoms and stuff, but we all seem to skip right over this simple question, which with a very complicated answer, but the question is simple, of what is attention? And it's, I don't know, I think it's sort of unfortunate because if you don't understand some of the basics, if you don't really think about some of these basics, how do you then handle the complicated stuff that comes out of it? So, you know, what is attention? I mean, thinking about it in preparation for this show, and last time I was on, you asked a lot of great questions, so I'm looking forward to having an even better sort of thinking about this by the time we're done. I think that attention is a lot of things. I think that on the one hand, we could say that, you know, attention is consciousness, that, you know, we are conscious of the things that we're paying attention to,
mm-hmm.
or that we attend to the things that we're conscious about. So, you know, we're constantly flooded with information from the world around us through our nervous system. You know, so at any given moment, there's all sorts of sounds and smells and touches and, you know, physical sensations. But most of the time, our brain sort of, frankly, it blocks out most of it. Like, it doesn't make the cut. It doesn't get in the front door kind of thing, But, you know, which becomes, you know, so you do these kind of mindfulness exercises where they say, now focus on the bottom of your legs and feel the chair beneath your, you know, holding the weight of your body.
Yep.
Now all of a sudden you're paying attention to something. It was there before. You just didn't care, you know? But now you know it. So, like, that's an example. Like, we have shifted our attention to what do our legs feel like.
Uh-huh.
And in that case, it's a very conscious and intentional thing. I think where the challenge for generally people with ADHD, but frankly everybody in this kind of crazy, overstimulating world that we live in, is the times that we're not, where we feel like we're not in the driver's seat, that our attention is being pulled away from us by other things. you know, ringing cell phones and, you know, too many, you know, so too much distraction around us, stimuli around us that pull our attention away, or even internal stimuli. So, you know, there you are at a, you know, very important but probably not very interesting business meeting, and all of a sudden you're thinking about, you know, I wonder if that movie is out yet. I wonder if we, you know, we should watch, huh, I wonder if that, when was that, that came out when, and now all of a sudden, you know, this idea of a movie has pulled your attention away from where it, you know, should be if you're sort of trying to do your best as an employee. So it's sort of funny that, like, we control our attention in a conscious way, and yet we're also the victim of our attention being hijacked by these external events or by internal events. And I think that we could almost say that, you know, a distraction, we can almost kind of define a distraction as something that pulls hard on our attention but isn't as important as some other thing that we should be doing.
Mm. You know, it's interesting because I'm listening to you, and I want to kind of share my thoughts. It's funny because I've been dying to do the show, and you're kind of a bright guy. I always looked at attention. We can't pay attention to the entire universe all at one time. There's so much going on. We're just incapable of it. So what we're paying attention to is a subset, and attention is actually a verb. It moves over time.
Mm-hmm.
You're not. You can't. It's this. It's not this thing. It's this intangible thing because your mind is always kind of shifting through some of that stuff. And it's interesting because I liked how you were talking a second ago about attention. You know, do we deal with what's just presented in front of us? Are we a victim of what's right in front of us, or do we have control to actually say, wait a second, I'm not going to do this. I'm actually going to pay attention to something else.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're sitting there and you're being aware of sitting in a chair and somebody says, hey, listen, notice the chair. I mean, you never did that before. You just choose to in that moment to say, I'm going to pay attention to what this chair feels like. So you're shifting and you're actually at that point in time kind of taking control of what you're paying attention to.
Mm-hmm.
Because you can't do it all at one time.
Right.
Which what makes attention so interesting is because it's fluid. It's not a thing. It flows over a period of time.
You know, I just had this thought. I'm kind of keying off of something that you said, that in some ways attention is sort of like, it's like a length of pipe. And the information, stimuli, thoughts, feelings, whatever, the things that we attend to, is like water that flows through the pipe. So the pipe is there, but what is in the attention, what is in our attention, is like the water that flows through. It's there, but then it's gone because it's been replaced by something else.
Mm-hmm.
So you're focusing on the presenter at the meeting, and then you're looking at, you know, what color is his tie and how his knot is tied, and now you're thinking about, you know, maybe I should get some more ties. And now you're thinking about, so it's kind of like, you know, the thoughts flow through your attention. And just to really kind of maybe take an analogy too far, I don't know, maybe we could say that folks with ADHD, sometimes their pipe is too short and they can't hold enough things in their attention. And at other times, their attention is bigger, it's longer, it's better.
Mm-hmm.
It's like you have, you know, the pipe is longer. It'll hold more water. You can hold more on deck at a time. So it's this kind of process where stuff is continually kind of flowing through.
Mm-hmm.
It can feel often, if we're in a very kind of stimulating environment, like our attention is being pulled by external events. I think that's when we say we got distracted. I think what we mean is that something, some stimulus pulled our attention away from where we intended to have it or where ideally we should have had it.
Interesting.
So I guess maybe that would be kind of a definition of a distraction. So boring, pointless things are never a distraction by definition because they don't pull our attention. You know, like you can ignore, if you can ignore it, it's not a distraction, you know. But what's distracting to one may not be distracting to others, or may not be distracting. It would be distracting at this moment, but it's not in this moment. So So yeah, it gets.
You know, this is why I wanted this. Is attention is not a simple thing. Yet we talk over it all the time. And I tell you what, all right, I want to go to a break and kind of come back to this. And when you come back, one question I've got to you is: can your brain not pay attention to anything at all?
Hmm.
Before we do that. Last time you were on the show, we were promoting adultadhbook.com. That's where you can go get more attention, less deficit, and some information on that. Will your new book be there? Listeners can still go there, but is there any other websites that's worth mentioning?
I mean, for me, the main website is adultadhdbook.com. I have information on the books. I have information about my podcast. I've hit over 500,000 downloads at this point, which is sort of dumbfounding. that's kind of the main place to get information.
So, again, for those that don't want information, go to adultadhdbook.com, and there's a contact button there, too, if they want to get in contact with you, right?
Yeah, they can send me an email. No problem.
All right. With that, we'll be right back after this message.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
ADHD, is it real? How is it diagnosed? How do I know if I have it or if my children have it? Do you outgrow it? You have questions and we have answers. We're CHAD, a national organization made up of professionals, parents, educators, and of course, those with ADHD. So if you want real answers to your questions, join CHAD at www.chadd.org. Or call us at 800-233-4050.
You deserve the best-trained ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Has your child been diagnosed with ADHD? Is he not fulfilling his potential? Success in Mind can help. We provide assessments that identify a student's learning profile of strengths and challenges. The result? A practical plan of strategies and tools that go beyond medication that parents, teachers, and students can implement together. If your child needs more success, visit Success in Mind at www.success-in-mind.org.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
News, updates, and alerts sent right to your inbox. Sign up now at attentionradio.com.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio.
And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everybody, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. I got Ari Tuchman with me. We're talking about attention, my favorite topic, and I can guarantee you right now we're going to run over. There's just no question in my mind. I like this topic so much. So, Ari, can you go past 30 minutes with me?
Sure.
All right. For our callers out there, if you hit one, I'll know you have a question. Again, there's a lot of content. We'll see if we can kind of get to you. And the people in the chat room, I can't talk and do the chat, but if you post a question, I'll try to field it, and we'll do the best we can. But, all right, actually, everybody, before the break, we were talking really about what attention was, and it's really kind of a complex thing that we talk about attention, we kind of gloss over it. And I'm going to come back to some things related to that in a second, but one of my real burning questions, Ari, is, Can the human brain not pay attention to anything? Is it possible?
I think mostly the answer is no, not really. I think that our attention is always somewhere, certainly when we're awake. But, you know, even when we're asleep, I mean, granted, parts of our brain sort of shut down a bit or at least get sort of held back and inhibited. But even then, like, you know, there's a lot going on, and I think that, you know, our attention is more on kind of like dream sort of stuff than it is on conscious awake kind of stuff.
Yep.
I would think that the closest we get it would be, you know, sort of Zen monks who have trained on, you know, sort of mindfulness sort of stuff, that they're probably as close as you're going to get to not really paying attention to anything.
But on a brain scan, what would that look like? Flatlined? I mean, there'll still be stuff going on, wouldn't there?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I mean, unless you're dead, yeah, there's always stuff going on.
So the reason I'm asking the question is kind of funny because it dawned on me a couple years ago when I'm working with ADD coaches, your brain needs constant brain stimulation. You always, as a human being, you have to have something to pay attention to, even if you're dreaming or whatever, which really brings in the question is if your brain has to be stimulated or it has to be paying attention to something, can you control it?
I think, you know, my philosophy often on these things tends to be it's easier sometimes to control the environment, to control the inputs, than it is to control our reaction to those inputs. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, when we're talking about kind of distractions hijacking your attention, well, if you can reduce the distractions, you're more likely to stay on the things that you, you know, should be focused on or the more
mm-hmm.
important things that, you know, are not always the stickiest. They don't have necessarily the strongest gravitational force to kind of hold and draw our attention. So so if you can make a conscious choice beforehand of I'm going to turn off the TV before I sit down to do my bills because otherwise I get distracted and make mistakes, for example. In that case, what you're doing is you're not testing your attention in the sense of like, by which I mean you're not kind of challenging your attention in a situation where it's sadly too likely to lose, you know?
Yeah, well, it's interesting because, and I love what you said, you make the choice, I'm going to turn off the TV to control my attention.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when you think about that, that's premeditated.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm going to turn off the TV to control my attention so that, because at that point in time, you're no longer passively dealing with what's in front of you, you're directing your attention.
Yeah, yeah,
right?
You're making active choices. And I think that, you know, that's a big part. I mean, well, you know, we're probably going to get into this with Barbara Luther when we talk about, you know, coaching versus therapy. But, you know, I think of coaching often as setting people up for success. Not
mm-hmm.
that therapy doesn't do this too, but, you know, maybe coaching a little bit more specifically in terms of creating the situations that are more likely to bring the best out of you
mm-hmm.
rather than just sort of going along and taking the situations as they sort of unfold or as they're handed to you or as the world brings it. And then, you know, fingers crossed, hoping that you're not going to get distracted, hoping you're going to remember to take those envelopes and mail them, hoping that, you know, you're going to keep your attention on the presenter even if he's not that interesting, you know. So to the extent that you can set it up ahead of time and kind of actively create those situations, you're more likely to create a situation that fits well with how your brain works and fits well with what you need to get done.
So it's interesting. We had about a month or so ago, we had David Kretsch on. He was talking about meditation, and we started the show off. He said, pick an object, and I want you to kind of focus on it for a little bit. And we said, like, for a minute. And as we did that, we were kind of quiet, and we, you know, said, did anybody notice how their mind would wander away from paying attention to whatever object they were? And I know mine did, which is one of the reasons that he'd done this at another conference that I had been at. And it was interesting because I did notice my mind wandering, and it kind of came back. So in a sense, it was interesting to me because I was paying attention to what I was paying attention to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I started to notice that, because his deal is, if you noticed your mind wandering, you're meditating correctly because it's about noticing what you're noticing.
Mm-hmm.
Furthermore, we've had David Gwork on from the ADD Coaching Academy years ago talking about attention. He always talks about pay attention to what you're paying attention to, which is notice your thoughts
mm-hmm.
in doing this. And it's been interesting to me on the experts that I've had talking about some of this cognitive behavioral therapy, the CogMeds of the world, the brain trains, integrated learning stuff, is that seems to me that some of those types of things are actually attention exercises to kind of help a person kind of begin to control and not just passively deal with what's in front of them. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny that you said cognitive behavioral therapy, because that's exactly what I was thinking when you gave the example for meditation and David Gwork's example of coaching, that yeah, I mean, cognitive behavioral therapy is about paying attention to your thoughts and feelings, especially the automatic ones that come really quick, you know, that we believe what our brain tells us or what our mind tells us. So, you know, something happens, we have an automatic thought about it, and we believe it. We take it as a given. And what cognitive behavioral therapy does is it slows down that process, and it says, well, hold on, wait a second. Is that really true? Is that in fact true? Is that in fact the only way of interpreting that? Or is there possibly another way of interpreting that? But the thing is, you can't do that unless you can pay attention to and notice those thoughts and feelings in the first place. So yeah, CBT depends on attention. And I think that, you know, I mean, you mentioned kind of a number of sort of different interventions that, you know, are proposed to be beneficial for ADHD or attention in general. And, you know, CogMed working memory training, I think, is, you know, they've got really good research that shows that, you know, those exercises improve working memory. And, you know, this concept of working memory, I think, is a really important one when we talk about attention, because it's hard to say. I mean, working memory and attention may actually really be the same thing. Like, they just, we have different words for the same thing. Or alternatively, they work so closely together that functionally they become the same thing. And the way that I sort of break it down in my mind is that, and I'm more than happy to be corrected on this, but my sort of working theory is that working memory holds what we are paying attention to. So, you know, working memory, it's that most immediate form of attention. And, you know, when I talked about kind of the pipe of attention, that is working memory. Like, it's the working memory that holds this flow of information, and it grabs some things and it lets other things go. And, you know, so if you can improve your working memory through, you know, CogMed working memory training, or possibly, you know, medication also be helpful in this. If you can improve your working memory, it gives you more control over your attention. And the reason is that if people who have people with a small working memory, you know, at least compared to their intelligence, so that's folks with ADHD, but, you know, some other people as well. But perhaps the reason why they're distracted is that they don't their working memory is less reliable. It drops bits and pieces of information. So instead of holding in mind, oh, right, I need to put this in the mailbox while I walk by, what happens is their working memory gets hijacked by some other thought or some other sort of thing that they're seeing, and their attention goes there, and it forgets, you know, it drops out of their working memory, letter in the mailbox, letter in the mailbox, letter in the mailbox. So,
yeah.
And it's only later that they, you know, two blocks later, they see the envelope in their hand. They're like, "Duh!" You know, and and it now screaming comes back into their attention of like, "Duh! God darn it! I was gonna mail that stupid thing."
Well, it's funny because I want to kind of go to break in a second, because I got an interesting analogy for that in a second with kind of what you're talking about, but. The sense is, hang on a second, I lost my train of thought. I hate it when that happens. What'd you just say?
Yeah. Well, the kind of the mailbox, you know, holding up working memory, and, you know, the bigger your working memory, the more you can pay attention to, the more control you have over where your attention goes.
Absolutely. I tell you what, I need to run to another commercial break. Again, for our listeners out there, to get his book or more information or hit the contact button, go to adhdbook.com. And with that, we'll be right back after this commercial break.
You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment. Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Make every moment count with Time Timer, a sensitive solution for ADHD time management. It shows how much time is left using a bright red disc that gets smaller as time passes. To place an order for a Time Timer, all you have to remember is timetimer.com.
Experience the difference with a top-notch ADHD coach. Find one at the ADD Coach Academy, the only comprehensive ADHD coach training program accredited by the International Coach Federation. Go to addca.com and click on Find a Coach.
Do you have something those with ADHD need? Advertise on Attention Talk Radio. We are a narrowcast, internet-based radio show targeting those with or impacted by ADHD. To learn more about advertising opportunities, email attention@attentiontalkradio.com.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. We got Dr. Ari Tuckman. We're talking about attention. Understand it, and it's easy to manage. And in the first part of the segment, we were talking about how it's attention is like a verb. It kind of unfolds over a period of time. It's really pretty complicated. And the second part, we were talking about how we kind of alluded to that attention is actually something you can choose. You can pay attention to what you pay attention to and change your environment to actually kind of control your attention. We also talked about, is your brain capable of not paying attention to anything at all? And I don't know if we can prove that, but I certainly think is that you, unless you're dead and flatlined, that you're paying attention to something. It's interesting, Ari, because I want to talk about one thing, and then I got another real interesting question for you. But you know, I think it was Ned Hollowell who once said that impulsivity or creativity is impulsivity that's gone right. And it's funny because I want to talk to him about this on Monday, but it's interesting because distractibility is a trait of ADHD. And I wonder if, to me, distractibility and curiosity are the exact same thing, but they're like opposite ends of a magnet. Imagine this. A kid is in the back of class, right? And the teacher's droning on about something. And he notices a cockroach on the floor. The teacher would say he's distracted by the cockroach, but I would say he's curious about the cockroach.
Right.
What do you think about that?
Yeah, I think that, I don't know.
I say it's the same thing. It's really your perspective. If the person's not paying attention to what you want them to pay attention to, they're distracted. But that kid in the class who's energized, who's monopolizing the conversation, waving their hand and blah, 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 they're just really curious about the topic. So
yeah,
is it really different?
I mean, I agree. I think that distractibility is in the eye of the beholder. You know, from the teacher's perspective, that's, you know, the student looking at the cockroach is distracted because, you know, clearly the lesson is the most important thing that should be paid attention to there. You know, because that's her agenda, is to have the lesson be the focus. Now, obviously, this kid might have a different agenda, that, you know, he might be making something of a more conscious choice of, I've decided the cockroach is much more interesting than the teacher, and this is really interesting the way he's eating that, you know, cookie crumb or something. In that case, is making it perhaps a bit more, I mean, sometimes it's a very clearly conscious choice.
Yep.
You know, especially if you're checking out that girl across the hall, you know, like, you know, you're very clearly making a conscious choice there. But, you know, at other times, I think it's a bit more of an unintentional or unconscious choice that, you know, the attention wanders away before we have that, you know, before we really sort of think about, should I keep my attention on the teacher or do I let it go to the, you know, the button?
Yeah. You played right into my next question so well.
All
right. And that is what you pay attention to instinctive? And let me tee this up. A carnivore, right? It instinctively pays attention to prey. It doesn't pay attention to plants and stuff like that. And my question is individually, I mean, human beings, I mean, we pay attention to certain things, but is each individual wired differently, and do they instinctively pay attention to whatever they're pre-wired to?
I think that, yeah, I mean, I think there's definitely a certain amount of biology in this in terms of, like, certain things are more likely to grab our attention than others. But I think in general, we tend to pay attention more to things that are important to us and pay less attention to things that are not important to us.
So let me ask you a question. If you're sitting there and you're a high school teenager in the back of class, I'm taking this from a male perspective, I'm a guy, and all of a sudden you look out the window and you see a girl kind of walking across the courtyard and you're a heterosexual male, do you instinctively pay attention to her or is it a choice?
I think there's a lot of biology in that, you know, that we're hardwired to pay attention to certain kinds of things, that certain things are just much more likely to get our attention. I think that there's a lot of evolution in that, you know, that certain things are much more important to pay attention to than others. Like a crying child is really hard to ignore, even if it's not your kid. Like it's hard to drown that out of your attention, you know? So things like that, or, you know, other sort of things like naturally pull our attention.
Mm-hmm.
I think beyond the biology, I think that there's, you know, the psychology part of it, that individually we all have certain things that we pay attention to. So, like, I don't know, like, if, you know, if my wife and I go visit, you know, go to some friend's house that we haven't been to, and, you know, we're having dinner at their house, there are certain things that I will remember about the evening that are very different than what she might remember. So I'll look at, like, you know, because I'm into woodworking and stuff, like, wow, that table was really cool. I like the way the joints were made here and stuff. You know, because I will remember that because I pay attention to it.
Yep.
Meanwhile, she'll say, oh, what do you think about the color of the dining room? And, like, as far as I know, the dining room had no walls of any kind. I have no memory of it, you know?
Yep.
Like, there were no skulls and crossbones painted on their dining room walls. Beyond that, I have no idea what color it was, you know? Now, obviously, that entered my awareness, like, I was there, I saw it, but I didn't pay attention to it. I didn't put my attention on and say,
yep,
oh, that's a very interesting color they have. So, you know, whereas my wife is more interested in that kind of stuff, so she'll pay attention, she'll notice it, she'll think about it, she'll take it in and sort of process it, whereas for me, it kind of, it runs through my eyeballs and shoots right back, you know, through the back of my head and is gone kind of thing. So, yeah, I mean, I think that we're naturally inclined to pay attention to certain things, but I think that this is where more of that, where that conscious choice stuff comes in that we've been talking about, of, like, we have the ability as conscious beings to make choices to pay more attention to some things and to try to pay less attention to others, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so I don't know, like, I think that we have the, you know, because we have that ability, I think that's great. It doesn't make it easy, and it doesn't mean that we're always going to be successful, but at least we have some chance of improving the odds.
Well, this is the reason I love this conversation so much is, and I bill myself as an attention coach because I think it represents what a coach does. We can't change anybody, but our job is not to tell people what to pay attention to, but help them shift what they're paying attention to, or better put, to take control of what they pay attention to, where before they were so passive in it. And another way of putting
it, not being distracted.
Yeah, or reclaim what you pay attention to. And or your metaphor earlier about, hey, listen, I know that if I'm going to sit down and have the TV on, I'm going to get distracted. I'm naturally, instinctively going to pay attention to what's on there. So I'm going to choose to turn that thing off because I want to pay attention to this. The moment you choose to turn the TV off in service of what you want to focus on that'll serve you, you're actually controlling your pay attention. You're directing your attention. You're just not passively letting the world, the environment control where your mind goes.
Yeah.
And
exactly.
It's interesting because as a coach, and again, this is a little bit of a bias here, is that I think that the world and marketing really kind of controls a little bit what we pay attention to. And I've talked to the meditation people, and I've talked to the cognitive behavioral therapy, and it's interesting to me because I see those as a lot of attention exercises that you work over a period of time, and you actually think about your thoughts, and actually and mindfulness and awareness is a little bit of realizing what you're paying attention to. And the moment you start to do that, you actually can control and say, listen, I'm going to choose to do this or choose not to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Because instinctively I know I instinctively know as a teenage kid, if I'm going to sit there and a pretty girl walks by, I don't care what the teacher's talking about. I'm not going to be able to hold my attention. So I'm going to choose to put myself in a situation where I can't see that person walk by.
Yeah.
Because I want to control what's going on.
Yeah, exactly. And that it's that sort of like, if you know that you're prone to certain distractions, maybe you can't change that fact that those things will always be distracting for you, or that they will very likely tend to be distracting for you, but you can change the choices you make in terms of the situations you put yourself into, and to the extent that those distractions even enter your awareness at all. Like if you're facing away from the hallway,
mm-hmm.
you cannot be distracted by the visual stimuli of people walking by. Maybe you'll
yep.
hear them, but you don't see them.
Yep.
And it's, which is really kind of, you know, your point about advertising, it very much fits here, that, you know, advertising and marketing is all about getting people's attention, you know,
yep.
to
it's
create,
a war.
It is. It is. I mean, they are trying to get your attention. And I'm not saying that that's like malicious or malevolent. It's just that is the that's their job is to get people's attention. And I think that it therefore, you know, part of whether it's advertising or it's just information in general in this kind of information age that we live in, I think a big thing that we all need to do is actively manage the information or the stimuli that come into our awareness, you know. So in terms of the emails that we get and the magazines and the or the, you know, junk mail and the, you know, ads, I mean, God, there's like they're putting ads on straws. Like, I've been in restaurants and there's a logo and a phone number and a website on a freaking straw. Like, are you kidding me? Like, a straw is almost one of the smallest things in your world, and that's still big enough for someone to put an ad on, you know, because I can't sit in a restaurant where I'm, by the way, I'm paying for the pleasure of being there. Like, that's not enough money. You need to, like, get paid also to put this straw in front of my face. So it's like even there, it's like, you know, that they're pulling at bits of our attention. They're trying to get our attention. I think that
it's a war for your attention.
It is. It is. I think that that's, I mean, this is one of the reasons why I think ADHD seems like it's more prevalent. I think ADHD has always been there in the human population, but we live in an information age that creates a much bigger processing burden to handle all this information. And those who are going to, who struggle with managing that information most effectively, as in people with ADHD, amongst others, will stand out that much more, you know? So I think it's the information flood and the effect that it's having on our you know, frankly,
yep,
limited attention. We have finite amount of attention.
Yep.
That is what's causing ADHD to stand out more and, frankly, to cause everybody in this world to at least sometimes feel like they have ADHD, even if they actually don't.
Absolutely. Well, it's interesting because I want to direct everybody. October the 26th, we're having Katherine Ellison on. She's a Pulitzer Prize-winning foreign journalist who got diagnosed with ADD, and she wrote a book about her journey. And the show is going to be focused on basically when you're going out and trying to find information, what to pay attention to and how to pay attention to the right stuff. And I'm going to tell you right now, I talked to her about it. If you like this attention conversation and this marketing thing, you need to go to that. It's going to be a fascinating conversation about when you're reading stuff, understanding where they're coming from and how to sift through that stuff. So I'm just kind of pointing that stuff out. The one thing that is interesting from our conversation today is I think we've illustrated that how complicated attention is. And at the beginning of the show, you said we talk about attention, we kind of jump through this stuff, and we really miss understanding the essence of what attention is. It's a verb. It's really kind of fluid. And I think a lot of what coaching is about, and we're going to talk about this again in our conversation with Barbara next Thursday, is coaching is a lot about bringing consciousness to your attention so you can really make choice, so you're not passively just reacting to stuff. You actually start to understand who you are from a coaching process, and you control your environment so you can direct your attention how you want to in a more natural way. And that's the reason, Ari, I've been dying to have you on the show, is just to kind of bring this up to illustrate to everybody how complicated this is. It's not necessarily simple, but you can, there's lots of tools out there, begin to control your attention.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a matter of kind of getting in the driver's seat, you know. And I think that part of it, and, you know, this is a whole other kind of discussion, is kind of this idea of acceptance that, you know, and I've presented on this before, and it's, you know, it's really important also, but kind of this idea of accepting, like, if you have ADHD, accept the fact that you are distractible at times, you are forgetful at times, you misplace things. You don't have to be happy about these things, but accept it in the sense of recognizing this is a part of who I am. I can pretend it's not true and suffer the consequences, or I can, you know, be angry about it, which doesn't change it, or I can sort of accept it and actively manage it in the sense of, like, all, you know, all this stuff that you're talking about, Jeff, in terms of, you know, selecting the situations you put yourself into and being mindful of what you're paying attention to and being intentional about what you do. But I think that that all assumes that there's that initial acceptance, you know, some identification in terms of self-knowledge of, like, I know I do better in these situations, I know I do worse in those situations. So first you need to understand it, then you need to accept it before you can really kind of do anything with it.
That's a brilliant statement. Well, all right, I want to kind of wrap this up, but I have something I want to get your opinion on. And I want to share this with the people, that we're talking about attention, and what's interesting to me, because as I studied attention, I've looked at the scientific method. And at the top of the scientific method, you're supposed to kind of go out there and look around, and you're supposed to develop a hypothesis, right? And then you kind of sequentially go through the steps of creating independent and dependent variables and running tests and draw a conclusion, and, you know, that's the whole step process. What's been interesting to me as I've studied attention is that the beginning of that whole scientific method all is dependent on what you're paying attention to. If you don't have the hypothesis, you've got nothing to test. If you don't pay attention to anything differently, then you've got nothing to test.
Right.
And it's funny because science, and I'm just, this is everybody out there, this is my opinion. I don't really share my opinion very much, but I'm very interested to get Ari's take on this, which is why I'm sharing it. I'm hoping it'll stimulate some conversation, is that attention is the one thing that you can't see. It's almost impossible to measure. And to a certain extent, science really downplays it. Yet, it's the foundation. Any advancements in science that we've ever had was a function of somebody paying attention to it differently. That's what originates the hypothesis for us to test.
Right.
And it's looking at it differently and paying attention to it differently. And again, we can't see attention, we can't measure attention, yet to me it kind of rules our world. And I'm sharing that because, Ari, you went through undergraduate, graduate school, you got your MBA. What are your thoughts on that? I'm just kind of interested. Am I off course, or is there something here? Because, again, when I look at the world of science, it's all – they discount the hypothesis. It's kind of what's proven, but that – beginning part about being able to pay attention to the world a little different and see things, that's the gem that really kind of takes us down discovery,
right,
in my opinion.
No, I mean, I think it's a very astute observation that it really is about, like, it begins with attention, that if you're not attending to something, game over, it's done. Like, you can go no further. And, you know, a lot of the sort of brilliant discoveries came from someone paying attention to something that was probably always there that other people have sort of seen in some sort of, you know, passive way or, you know, in some sort of way, but never truly seen. So, you know, like Darwin noticing that, you know, different finches have different beaks, slightly different beaks. Everyone's seen finches, everyone's seen that they have beaks, but nobody's paid attention to the fact that these are a little bigger and those are a little smaller. So he paid it, he noticed it in his attention, and from that he created, you know, some theories as to why that might be, or some hypotheses as to why that is, and then he paid attention to other animals and other features, and, you know, that then his theory became bigger and bigger, or, you know, all sorts of, you know, or people paying attention to the way the stars move through the sky. You know, everyone's seen stars. We all know that they're, you know, they're in the early part of the night, they're over here, or the end of the night, they're over there. But what is the pattern by which they move? And what does that tell us about the Earth and the Earth's rotation relative to the sun and the moon? And, you know, it's that, yeah, I think you're absolutely right that discovery presupposes that there was an initial attention there in the first place. And I think that there are scientists who do study attention, but I think that, like with so many things with the brain, it's so complicated and there's so much going on that there's the very basic science at the neuronal level, which is important. It's there's such a big jump. There are so many things that happen from the neuron level to the conscious experience level that we're just beginning to figure out some of those connections. But, you know, it's, which I think, ironically, I think we go from kind of science to philosophers. And, you know, I was convinced at some point we were going to get to, like, philosophy in this whole discussion because, like, you know, attention and, you know, consciousness and all of that. And, you know, it reminds me of, I kind of traded some emails with a philosopher, like a philosophy grad student, and he was talking about his interest was free will, and one of them, a specific sub-interest was, you know, alcoholics. Did they have free will? Like, how does their alcoholism affect their free will, which is really kind of actually an interesting question. So he had heard me do a podcast on just ADHD in general, and that sparked his interest, and he was like, well, wait a second. How does ADHD impact free will then? So we traded some emails, and I did a podcast about free will. And, you know, this was like a year ago, but I think a lot of what I talked about in that podcast very much fits into attention because, you know, we haven't used the words free will, but we've really been talking about it in terms of, you know, exerting your will over where your attention goes as opposed to having your attention hijacked by external forces, by external stimuli, or by internal stimuli. You know, so for example, when we're anxious and we're ruminating about something, oh, I've got that big meeting tomorrow and I'm not prepared, how it's going to go, or, you know, it's, you know, our attention has been hijacked. The worry has stolen our attention away, and it's holding it hostage because we can't shift it away onto other, hopefully more pleasant kind of topics. So,
It's interesting. I want to kind of chime in here, and I want to kind of bring this together. It's interesting because the topic tonight was what is attention? If you can understand it, it's easier for you to manage. And tonight, by the way, Ari, this is my favorite show of all time. As we've been around, we're trying to understand what's going on because you've actually understand what attention is. You actually begin to manage it. It's funny because when I'm working with people, and they're in a situation like you're talking about, where there might be ruminating or something over that, and I'll talk to them about, tell me about a time where you were able to shift your attention, whether it's exercise or something like that. And it's funny because once they start to pay attention to when they're paying attention, they're doing these types of things, and we can talk about the times. The things that they can do to shift their attention, whether it's exercise or that's stuck in my head right now, then they can actually stop in the moment where they're like, wait a second, I'm ruminating, it's not really serving me. I know if I go exercise, it'll pull my attention away from what I'm doing. At that point, in that moment, you start to control what you're paying attention to. Because if you understand what attention is really all about and you notice what you're paying attention to and you notice how you can pull yourself away from things that you're paying attention to that might not serve you, you are actually taking control of everything and you're managing your attention in a way that you're consciously serving you.
Mm-hmm.
And what's really cool about this conversation today is we've ripped attention apart. You know, we've talked about, is it instinctive? Can your brain not pay attention to anything? And blah, blah, blah. But the bottom line is if you understand attention, you can actually then begin to control it. And at the beginning of the show, it was brilliant what you said, is that we talk about attention, we jump over that part into everything else. And if we kind of come back and really think about this, I really think it can really open up a lot of doors for all of us.
Yeah, I absolutely agree, and I mean, I was looking forward to this show as well because I think it is such an important topic that somehow always gets missed. But I also knew, based on our, you know, the last time I was on your show, that we were going to have a great conversation. You were going to ask a lot of great questions, and you're going to point my attention to the things that I hadn't attended to before that I really should. That's an interesting idea, or that's an important part. Well, what about this versus that? And so, yeah, I think that this is really interesting, and I would love to hear feedback from people on this as well, because I think it is such an important thing. And I think that, just like you said, the better we understand it, the more control, the more options we have in terms of what we do in life.
It's fascinating. So anyway, everybody out there, we'd love to hear your feedback. Number one. Number two, thank you for listening to us, because this has been a thrill for me doing this. And at the end of the day, again, the show, What is Attention? If you can understand it, it's easier to manage. Ari, thank you very much for coming on the show. Everybody out there, go to adultadhdbook.com. You can get information on his book. There's his podcast, which is it's rich with information. And your new book is coming out. Well, it's basically in the trucks, moving out right now. You'll have it at the CHAD conference. And you said earlier some places that you'll actually be able to download it. What were those places?
Sure. It'll be addwarehouse.com. We'll have it within a week or so. It'll be available there. It's sort of in process at Amazon. It should be there hopefully within a few weeks. And then in the spring, because it's sort of officially it's a spring release because we missed the deadline for a fall release. So it's a spring release. You'll begin to see it on bookshelves some places and other online retailers like in the spring. But addwarehouse.com will have it first.
And I want to remind everybody that Ari's going to be on next Thursday with Barbara Luther. We're going to have a spirited discussion about the difference between ADHD coaching and ADHD therapy. I am actually really looking forward to that, too, because I think years ago there was more of a distinction. They're starting to get blurred a little bit. We're going to talk about that. And don't forget, next week we've got a whole series of shows to celebrate ADHD Awareness Week. And one last thing is, Ari, you were on at the end of November last year when you were talking about to disclose ADHD or not. I can't remember the title. It was either a shout-out thing. I would encourage our listeners to go listen to that, because that was another real spirit. I enjoy having you on. These are great conversations. And if you like this one, I encourage you to go listen to that archive, because it was a great show. So with that, Ari, thank you so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And with that, that'll conclude this episode, everybody. Stay tuned Monday through Friday next week, 8 p.m. We've got a great series of shows. Looking forward to seeing you on Attention Talk Radio. Take care, everyone.